Earlier this month, we spoke with New York Times reporter Eliza Shapiro, who co-wrote the Times investigation into New York's Hasidic yeshivas, or schools, which offer so little non-religious education, students get to high school without even basic reading and math skills. They're not required to give standardized tests at these schools, but some of them do. And in 2019, the Central United Talmudical Academy tested 1,000 boys in reading and math, and all of them failed. Now, we want to stress we're not talking about all Jewish schools. Many have been recognized for excellence. This story is focusing on the ultra-Orthodox Hasidic schools. They're spread across Brooklyn and the lower Hudson Valley. They serve about 50,000 students. The school administrators and attorneys representing them dispute these claims. They say their schools reflect the community's values, and many parents agree. But others say the schools violate state laws guaranteeing an adequate education. Among them is Beatrice Weber. She has 10 children, 3 still at home, and she filed a complaint against one son's yeshiva in 2019. She also works now for Yafit, a not-for-profit trying to improve education in Hasidic schools. Beatrice joins us now. And, you know, we know this is hard to talk about, but tell us a little about your youngest son's experience at his Williamsburg, Brooklyn yeshiva.
Yeah, so my son will be 10 actually next week, and his yeshiva is actually just a block away from the United Talmudic Academy that was reported, you know, in the paper. He goes to a smaller school, but very similar. This is nothing new for me. He's my youngest of 10. That investigative report shocked a lot of people, but not me and not any of the parents in the community. Like, we know this.
And give us some specifics. Your son started when he was 3. But he didn't have any English subjects until second grade, and it was just an hour. The teachers didn't speak English. At one point, your son helped them teach?
So that is all accurate. I've always spoken to my children English as their first language. So he's not my first child that by the time, you know, they were 2 years into what they call their English education, they actually had to help the teachers read. The way it works is, you know, they have very long days. From the age of 5 or 6, they start at 8:30 and end at 4:30. And only the last hour of the day is dedicated to these academic studies, you know, English, math. And, you know, they end up reading at like a third grade level. So simple words like molecule, cell, atom, they have never learned those basic science concepts. They have no idea how to write an essay. They might know what it means, but definitely would not know how to construct an essay. You know, math, I mean, long division at most, you know, that's just about the furthest they would get. So anything that deals with fractions or algebra or anything beyond that is just not accessible to them. Recently, my son's teacher, for some reason, decided to inject some science. So he told them that the Earth is in the middle and all the planets revolve around it. You know, he kind of drew it as a circle. And my son, who's a little bit of a space geek, you know, raised his hand and was like, no, that's not how it works. And the teacher was actually surprised and actually paid a lot of attention when my son explained it to him. And I was like, wasn't he angry that you disrespected him, right? He's like, no, no, no. The teacher was very curious. He said he had never learned it before. Not only don't they have teacher certification, but they've never gone to college, not high school, and not even a regular elementary school. They have also gone to these kinds of schools. So they're very limited.
And I'm wondering, when you saw the New York Times investigation, tell me your reaction, because I'm imagining it was on different levels.
Yeah, so, you know, there's this one immediate, very visceral reaction. It's really painful and also somewhat traumatizing to see that story told publicly. You know, I'm a grandchild of Holocaust survivors. Like, that fear is always there. Even though I know logically that the only way to improve something is to expose it, I've written my own experiences, you know, of living in the community and leaving. So, like, I know the value logically of exposing these kind of stories, but yet having it exposed was really scary, felt really scary.
Yeah.
On the other hand, how else do we change things if people don't know? My son is extremely bright, but he reads nowhere near, you know, grade level. He is finally getting tutoring now. So I hope to at least, you know, at the end of his long day, give him a little bit of something. And what's frustrating is that it's not a Jewish value not to educate kids. Some of the Jewish schools here in New York are some of the best schools around. One of them actually just won like a blue ribbon. You know, it was a Jewish Orthodox school. So it's definitely possible to teach both, you know, a strong Judaic curriculum and a strong secular academic curriculum. So it's just the saddest thing. You know, my son is extremely bright, extremely curious, loves to learn. And yet I need to send him every day because of our divorce agreement. And I know he's not being taught what he should be taught.
Well, and what do you say to the schools that say this is their religious freedom?
They have a right to teach the religious subjects, but I don't think that that gives them a right not to teach the academic subjects. Children should be able to graduate schools being able to know how to read and write. They should be able to know how to do math on their grade level. Like, there is nothing in Judaism that would dictate that a child should not be able to do that.
By the way, we haven't mentioned girls. You know, are girls at the schools?
They go to separate schools, like from the age of three, right? And they are taught a little bit more. Part of it is because they're the ones that end up, you know, managing the children, managing at home, and somebody needs to be able to fill out the registration form at the doctor's office, right? Mm. You know, they're not exposed to literature and even science, but their spoken and written English is definitely a lot better.
A sensitive topic. Among the allegations in the Times expose is that corporal punishment and humiliation are used to discipline students, even young ones. Is this something that happened to your kids?
Yes. And yes, I would say, as frustrating as it is for me to have to send my child to a school where he's not being taught what he's supposed to be, is the helplessness around the corporal punishment. And this is something that, again, we know about. It was something many years ago, I would say maybe 15 years ago. I remember going down, you know, with my now ex-husband to the school principal to try to have a conversation about maybe they should choose a different method of discipline. And I remember, you know, talking about it. And then my husband just said to the principal, oh, but I have a different way of this, you know, like I agree with you in your way of taking care of things. So 2 years ago, I tried to file a complaint about an incident with my son. I went to the police, you know, station in my neighborhood. They like gave me such a hard time and wouldn't write up a report. You know, recently, like, he has not been getting hit. And I think they know maybe that I speak up and that it's not would not be wise. But he still sees it happening as recently as this year. Yeah. He said there was a classmate taken to the front of the classroom, punched by the teacher. The principal was called in to hit him. I mean, there's no words.
Yeah. Look, we should say your complaint has gone all the way to the state in 2021. It went to the Supreme Court in Albany, and the justices are considering it. But meantime, you talk about how hard it is. I mean, to leave this community was incredibly hard. People within the community are told that, you know, the outside community is dangerous, so people are afraid of leaving. You left, and now you're speaking out. But what do you think this whole thing has done to you?
I think it's a very insular community. People don't really understand how the community operates. And I think people don't realize the sense of helplessness that you have in the community and the few choices that you have. Generally, when we talk about parents choosing a school for their children, we talk about it as school choice, right? There's choice. People can send their children to private schools or to public schools. But when you're in the community, you don't have a choice. No, it's about which sect do I belong to? I will need to send my child to a school that's in that sect. So for me, a lot of the last few years has been realizing it's my child. I should have choices. I don't have to just do things because the community demands it of me. And for me, that's been really like a learning, because even though I was an adult and even though, you know, I was considered, you know, successful, you know, even in the community, right? I was, you know, a mother of many children and I was the wife of a highly respected scholar and rabbi. Yet the choices were so few and the expectation to follow what you were told was so strong.
That's Beatrice Weber, Brooklyn mother of 10, who's filed a complaint against her sons at Yeshiva, an ultra-Orthodox Hasidic school, saying they're not providing even the most basic education in violation of New York State law. Beatrice, it's what an insight. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me on.